Those Two Girls
on Hit 105.
It's podcast time, guys.
Bye.
Well,
I'm just keeping the theme of the show going. I accidentally said goodbye when I didn't mean to.
At and 6 minutes
all
past
just
eight.
Threw...
It's like she thought she was on the phone, but forgot she was on Metro Radio and people are listening. Like, I don't know, six people are listening.
Anyway, hi, Brisbane. Listen to the potty and we'll be on air.
That'll do.
No, oh, bye.
Those Two Girls
on Hit 105.
I'm angry.
Lisa and Sarah's.
I have never been this angry in my entire life.
Triggered.
Yeah, Brizzy, we're talking triggered. It's that time of the show where you've just got your own little space to get off something that's been giving you the irrits. Just get it off your chest, send it away and get on with your day.
The phones have lit up, Sarah, as they do every single day. I have another one before we take our first caller.
Okay.
You know when there's a fly that buzzes around the room? It's just buzzing around me, doesn't go to anyone else, doesn't buzz anyone else, buzzes around me.
Maybe it's a fly. Maybe it's a fly with good taste.
Well, actually, when you put it
maybe
like that,
like
I like
Louis
it
the
now.
Fly looking for Leezy.
I like it. I feel better about it. Thank you.
I would also say this is more of a it is a triggered, but it's also a community service announcement. We're in cold and flu season. I don't need to hear you sniffing and swallowing. I'd much rather hear you just get a tissue and blow your nose. Not you, just general people. Blow your nose. Blow it out. Get it out of your system.
Yeah, righto.
Danielle from Strathpine, what's got you
good
triggered?
Morning. Okay. I cannot stand it when these people just sit at a roundabout and wait for nothing to be on the roundabout before they go through the roundabout.
Danielle, I am so with you with these road rules, because if there's no car coming, you actually don't have to you can slow down, but the vehicle needn't come to a stop.
A complete
halt. I know, it's like, give way, people. This is meant to keep the traffic flowing,
yes,
but we're not moving.
And Danielle, isn't it just that little moment of pure road magic when you don't have to slow down?
Yes.
Like, you just go.
It's awesome. It's like, yes, I can continue to my journey, I might even arrive on time.
Yes.
Leilani from Kingston, something's got you triggered. Tell us.
I'm a delivery driver and I can't stand it when people comfortably travel 10Ks under the limit. Like, don't you have anywhere to be? Because I have
triggered.
Who even are they?
I know, because, you know, travelling under the speed limit is an offence too. You can
correct.
Get booked for that.
Correct. I'm all for safe driving. I'm an advocate of safe driving and respecting speed limits. But 10K under, who even are you?
Michelle from Bell Bowery, triggered.
I get so frustrated when people try to get into the lift before you get out of the lift.
Triggered.
You can't get in unless I get out. So
yes, just back up and wait. Yes. Just hold, like William Wallace in Braveheart. Hold, and then come in. I hear you, Michelle.
Yeah, absolutely.
Spirit sister right there.
Lindsay from Yarrabilba, round us out. What's got you triggered?
Morning, guys. This happened to me yesterday afternoon. Going to IKEA, I literally parked in the last spot down the end, most furthest from the entrance, to be on my own waiting for my kids to come out and with my mother-in-law. I was literally the end spot, right at the back where there's no one there. And I did it intentionally so I could listen to music, chill out and just wait. And a car parks next to me.
Triggered.
Did you say something? Did you give that?
Why?
Did you death stare them?
I have the opposite triggered, where when we go to IKEA, my husband, and we know we're going to be walking out with flat packs, right? And he parks the car as far away from the entrance as possible. And I'm like, why?
It's because he doesn't want to get his car scratched by doors. That's what it is.
But, yeah, when you just want a chill-out time, you don't need somebody.
Oh, I agree.
If you're just, like, checking your hair in the rearview mirror and then a family of five is staring at you next door, it's awkward.
It's a strange breed of person who does that, Lindsay. I am with you. That's triggered, guys. Do you guys feel better?
Oh,
I think we're helping.
I feel it.
I feel like a doctor.
Yeah.
Like it's the closest I'll ever get to being a psychologist.
Just get on our triggered couch, let it off your chest.
Those Two Girls on Hit 105.
Those Two Girls want you to check your two girls.
My milkshake brings all the boys to the car. Yeah, Brizzy, that's
Hit
right.
Hit 105's breast day out.
I'm so excited because the past few days we've been talking about doing self-breast exams correctly and learning how to do them, because Lise and I are in the 50% of Brizzy women who who aren't checking our buzzies like we should be. We're just relying on our GPs. And we can't do that anymore.
We had Dr. Dev come in to chat to us earlier in the week, and we just decided that's it. We're doing something about it, and it is happening this very Saturday. It's a free event right here at the Hit 105 station, and there's lots happening. We've
lots
had a
happening.
Lot of interest in this, yep. Sarah, haven't we?
So the purpose of the event is for you to come along, bring a bestie or a breastie, mm-hmm. bring your mum, bring your teenage daughter, bring your grandma if you want, and learn with GPs in a one-on-one consult how to give yourself a proper self-examination of your breasts.
And, of course, it's going to be super fun.
Super
lots of things going
fun.
On. Now, yesterday we spoke with a young woman by the name of Danny, who is a 28-year-old breast cancer survivor. She's had a mastectomy. Danny, you were 26 when you found a lump?
I was. It was literally, it was one Friday afternoon. I was sitting at my desk and, you know, I kind of bent over and felt something that was, it almost felt like a rock. And I just had this gut feeling of, you know, this isn't right. And, you know, I kept telling myself it's hormones. Mm. So that's basically how I felt. And, you know, I got my fiancé to feel it going, you know, does this feel okay to you? My sister came up that weekend. She started to freak out. You know, my parents got word, you know, straight to the doctors immediately. So that's how I found it.
So what happened after that, Danny? You're 26, you find a lump, your parents insist that you go straight to the doctor. What next?
I basically, as soon as I could get into my local GP, my GP then sent me for an ultrasound. And then the doctor came in and said, oh, Danielle, I'm going to need you to have a mammogram. And that's when my gut literally, I've never felt anything like it in my life.
Mm. Because mammograms are reserved, again, as Sarah was saying, for older women. It's that level of screening.
Yeah,
that younger
free
women.
Over 40.
That's right. Yep. So you knew at that point when they uttered that word.
Yeah. That there was more investigation needed.
Yeah.
100%. So went in, I had the mammogram, came back out, and the doctor wanted to do a biopsy. As soon as I walked into her office, the first thing she said was, thank God you've got your mum. And I was almost as if I tuned out, and she said, Danielle, it's breast cancer. Ugh. And the first thing that came out of my mouth was, am I still going to be able to have children? And I looked at mum and she was just in tears, and I think I was just glazed over. I was in another world. It was like I was living in a dream.
Oh, I've got goosebumps while you're telling that story.
And what was the what was the prognosis at that point? Like, did she say it's bad, or we're going to get this, it's all in one place, we're going to lumpectomy? What was the call to action following that sit down with your GP?
She sent me to my breast surgeon that afternoon. He basically explained, Danielle, you have a choice. He explained what a lumpectomy was, and he explained what a mastectomy was. So he said, you have a choice, and, you know, you've just been told you have cancer. Now you need to decide whether do you want to have your breasts removed or not.
Yeah. What did you decide?
I chose to have a lumpectomy first. So I had that operation 2 days after.
Yep.
And then I got the phone call that following week. And it was my surgeon, and he said, Danielle, I've got the pathology results here, and it's not ideal. So I didn't get a clear margin.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that meaning he didn't remove enough for it to be green light, all clear, got everything.
Well, you only needed to take that breast tissue, not your entire breast.
Yeah.
Exactly. So he said, I want you to have, you know, it was another Friday, so think about it over the weekend. Ugh. I was back in his office on Monday, and I said, I want you to remove my breast. Mm. So, and I think it was the following week, my sister was actually getting married in Fiji. So So this all dawned upon us when, you know, it was meant to be one of the happiest times of my family's life.
Sure.
And at the time, too, I was rushed through IVF as well. So, you know, I had hormone injections every single day.
So yes. That's as a precautionary measure?
To save, keep embryos and eggs on ice?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, injections
every day and... You know, when we were in Fiji, I had this dark cloud over my head going, when I get back, my entire body's going to change. And I couldn't, you know, I was 26, I'm 28 now, and I couldn't conceptualize what that would actually be like because, you know, you're 26, you think you're bulletproof. I'll never forget when I was actually being wheeled into theatre. My surgeon, he sat down on the bed with me and he's like, hey, you know, how are you going? And as much as I was literally wanting to run away inside, I said, I'm ready. I want you to remove it all. And he was like, wow, you're amazing. So it was almost like I had this thing that kicked in that I was going to leave. So that kind of all... It took over.
Those two girls want you to check your two girls.
My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard.
Hit 105's Breast Day Out.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this. It's coming up in just a couple of days, Sarah, our Breast Day Out event. Such an important cause. And the reason we're doing this breast check event for women around Brizzy is because of stories like Danny. So just before we were speaking with Danielle, a 20-year-old breast cancer survivor, she was telling us earlier about the moment she found the lump. And she was only 26.
Only 26, yeah. And so we're going to pick up the chat where Danny tells us about the surgery that she's just had.
Yeah, so I've just had, they call it a unilateral mastectomy and a breast reconstruction. So that was literally just over a month and a half ago.
Oh, wow. How do you feel? So how does that feel post-op? We heard something that there's a term for post-operative reconstructive breasts. Are they called FOOBs?
They.
I kind of
Can you
like
talk
that.
Us through that? What does FOOBs stand for?
So it's the stage between mastectomy to breast implants, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, how wonderful that you caught that lump. And I guess that's the message that we're wanting to get out. So we're hosting this event on Saturday here at Hit 105, Breast Day Out, where we're encouraging women to come along with a friend or with their daughter and be taught by GPs on how to check their breasts regularly. And you're our perfect example, Danny, of how you don't have to be 44 or 64. You can be 26 or younger.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, we're 10 years older than you. Yeah. If anything, we're probably closer to where people think, you're getting to the pointy end of where you really should be checking your boobs, and we're still not.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, we've loved chatting to you. Your story is remarkable.
Yes, thank you for your honesty and being so open.
Yeah.
And to any woman out there who isn't in the habit of checking their breasts, what would you say?
I would say it's something that us as women, we need to talk about a lot more. I was 26, but the amount of girls that I met that were 30 and they were pregnant, you know, we are out there. So it's something that, you know, it's targeted as an older woman's disease, but it should be something that every woman knows how to do properly, because at the end of the day, as cliche as it sounds, it will save your life. It could save your life.
And Danny, there was one other thing that you said that struck me too, and that was when the hospital sent you home and said, just check in with your GP whenever. You were an advocate for your own body because you knew what didn't feel right and you pushed to have this happen. So I think, again, once you know what your breasts feel like, you are the person. You don't have to accept, no, that's okay for an answer. You can push for those tests, yeah?
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Well, all right, Danny, all the best with your FOOBs and your future. We hear you're planning a wedding.
Yes.
How exciting. How far away is that?
So end of next year, but I'll have nice boobs and it'll be summer.
You'll be rocking the boobs.
Wedding dress shopping is going to be fun.
Oh, that's exciting. Yep. We wish you all the very best and we thank you so much for your time and your story.
Thank you so much for having me. Good luck on Saturday.
Rightio. So, guys, Breast Day Out, it's the very last chance today, Sarah, for everyone in Brizzy, women in Brizzy, to register now. You've got until midday to register for this event on hit105.com.au. I think it's also pinned.
Oh, yeah, it's
to the
pinned
top.
Right at the top of the Hit 105 Facebook page. So we're making it easy for you. There it all is. Come and play with us. It's going to be fun.
And it's free.
And it's for women's health.
It really is.
Look after your tatas.
We can't wait to see you all there.
Bye.
It's 8:06. Who are you saying goodbye to?
I don't know. Yeah. I just had a little brain snap. Bye, Brisbane. Bye.
Those two girls at Hit 105.
Those two girls on Hit 105.
What do you want?
$450.
But jousting stick.
Just let me buy you stuff on Gumtree and have some fun, please.
Selling me. Dreaming.
Dreaming. Dreaming.
Okay. All right, guys. Brizzy, help me out here.
Oh, I love that.
Now, let's just explain what's going on here. Sarah, this is something that you know about me and my marriage.
Yes.
I'm going to put it to Brisbane because it's rubbing me up the wrong way. Okay. My husband has a gum tree problem, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Every week, actually more than every week, but let's just go with weekly, he is scrolling through Gumtree, he's watching items, he's taking notes on items that I believe are useless, that we do not need. They're things that are so left of field, Sarah. You know the history of this.
But I also think that you're a total handbrake. I know that you don't like spending money.
I don't like spending money on useless Gumtree purchases. Correct.
But are they useless? I mean, remember that time we were away for work and Dane sent you something that he wanted to buy, and I was all for it. So you've got that beautiful Queenslander property on acreage.
Yes.
It's
what
beautiful.
Did he want to buy,
there's
Sarah? Tell Brisbane. See, you're laughing because you know. Dane wanted to buy a Balinese hut that would take pride of place by our dam. Okay, just visualise that.
And we drove home and we pulled into the driveway and Dane was by the dam and you'd already veto. You're like, no, no.
Like,
and I was like,
stupid.
You know what? It looked beautiful then. A Bali hut. And he was just like, yes.
It goes against
yes.
the aesthetic of our property. Balinese hut will never happen. Then what else did he buy?
Hair
what
break.
Else did he buy?
Rusty
irrigation system for a paddock that we don't even own. Okay, we have a paddock beside our property that's council land, right? Dane spent, I think it was $600 on rusty irrigation poles that are still laying by the shed for a paddock that we do not need to water.
Bargain.
Right?
Bargain.
Okay, so this is what I need
just think
to get off my chest.
He's kind. He's kind.
He is kind. I do love him. Okay,
and you're this throwing is him under the bus too. How many people live in Brisbane now? 2 million. I'm pretty sure they're all tuned in.
Okay, guys, take a listen to Dane's latest wish list item. Sarah?
Oh.
Tell me this isn't nuts.
Mm.
Female camel, $1,100. He wants to buy a camel. Where does he want to put that camel? On the paddock we don't own. Why does he want to put it there? These are his dot points. Scotty, don't laugh. Don't add to it. This is his argument, Sarah. He gave me 3 points. I chatted to him about it. I said, look, I love you. Just tell me why you want a female camel.
Does he need more lady lumps in his life? Oh, yes.
Well, you know, he's got quite a handful, Sarah. Okay, these are his 3 points for wanting a camel. Lees, they're great weed eaters. Okay, fine.
I mean, well, that's a good point, because if you spray Roundup on weeds, we just heard in news, they're making these super cane toads. So I'm for the camel.
Sarah, it's a paddock we don't need to maintain. Okay, second point. He said we could possibly go trail riding on the camel if we train it, right? Maybe. It sounds dangerous to me.
So
I don't want to be spat on.
Is he up for a camel training side hobby as well?
Possibly. He also said we can milk it. Female camel, $1,100. Guys, 13, 10, 60. I don't even know what I'm asking the people of Brisbane. Is this a good buy? Has a camel enriched your life?
Have you got a camel? Have you had a camel? Has it spat at you? Do you just use camel soap? Is Dane dreaming? Should the man get a camel? Please, let your husband get a bloody camel.
You live in Cooperrow. You wouldn't know.
There's no camels in Cooperrow.
No, there's not.
13, 10, 60. Should Lisa's husband buy a camel?
So, David from Marsden, what are your thoughts?
I reckon you should get it.
David, why?
Oh, because just you'll be able to say, oh, you guys want to come and see my pet camel?
If for no other reason, that's good enough for me. Daphne from Chermside. Is Lee's being a handbrake?
Why should I get this camel,
totally.
Daphne?
She should get the camel. I watched a documentary once from a semi-reputable source.
Semi-reputable? What does that mean?
What did the documentary say?
Well, they were saying that the milk is actually really expensive.
Oh, hang on. Lisa's cogs are turning here.
How much?
Daphne, one time she tried to sell the lotus flowers on her pond on Gumtree. So, I mean, this girlfriend here is ready to make a quick buck. Do you think you could make some camel milk?
Sarah, I'm entrepreneurial. I mean, how much are we talking per litre, Daphne?
Look, I don't know. It was a while ago that I watched it, and I honestly don't take notice of the small details.
Just that it cost a bucket.
It just cost a lot, and the guy was sipping it like he was rich. So.
Oh, okay.
A rich sip.
All right.
I can't handle a rich sip.
All right, this is boding well. Jasmine from Boondle, should we buy a camel?
Absolutely not. Lisa, I am in exactly the same position as you. My partner's a mechanic and brings home crap every single week. I have a hood in my house, the hood of a car in my house that he wants to turn into a dog kennel. And I've also got a car engine in my house that he wants to turn into a coffee table. Yep. I have crap lying everywhere.
Oh, I just think he sounds like an ideas man, Jasmine. He's an ideas man.
This engine has been in my house for 12 months.
Okay.
Thank you.
It is not clean. It is in a table. It is just sitting there.
This is the other thing, Jasmine. Camels spit. They spit. I've heard that they're aggressive. They have really big teeth. They smell. They're supposed to be really smelly.
Look, it's going to live on the paddock that doesn't even belong to you. I think you're looking too much into this. Hey, Ben from Woodford, have you got a camel story to tell us?
I do. I have my very own.
Yes! We've got a camel owner on the line.
All right, Ben. You are our guy. Talk me through being the owner of a camel.
It's like the best thing you'll ever do in your life.
Is it?
So I wanted a camel from when I was like 4. My argument was always that I would ride it to preschool and all this kind of stuff. And then a few years ago, friends of ours had some camels and they were retiring one from a show they were doing. And I said, well, you know what, maybe Cindy can come live here. And then she's been living with us ever since.
I can't believe her name's Cindy.
Cindy. I do like that. I do like the sound of that. Ben, what do you do with Cindy? Like, what can she do?
She lives in our paddock with our dairy goats, and then she just helps keep the weeds down and just comes and hangs out. We don't do any riding or anything with her. But
so did you say she retired from something? So
Yeah. So she was a performing camel in an act.
Does she do tricks?
Yeah, she can stand on a pedestal and lay down. She can crawl on her legs, which meant that she could also learn to crawl under fences. So that was a bit of a fun one because they're much smarter than horses. Much smarter.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Ben,
best thing you'll do.
Am I gonna let him buy this camel or not, Sarah?
Yeah. Well, it's an all right price as long as it's already
trained. Is it an all right price? $1,100. I can think of a lot of other things I'd rather buy.
Yeah. But, you know, it's a camel. It'll be around for years.
That's the problem.
Everyone will know about it for a long time. And the camel dairy industry is just getting bigger and bigger and
bigger. This is interesting to me.
It's the money.
This is interesting to me. Okay. All right. Ben, everyone who called in with camel...
tails.
Camel tails, quite literally. I just don't know how it's going to go. I don't know if a camel in a Balinese hut by a dam looks any good.
Well...
There's only one way to find out.
I wish we could get Damon.
I'm buying a camel.
Those two girls on Hit 105.
Jamila Rizvi, Sarah. She's a well-known personality on Aussie TV. She writes a lot. She's an accomplished host and commentator. You've seen her lots on the project.
Oh yeah, she is super smart.
Super smart. Q&A, Mamma Mia. She does a bit of everything, to be honest. Now she's just released a brand new book called Not Just Lucky, and you and I read something fascinating within the pages of her new book. We've got Jamila on today. I want to hear about this thing that you read, Sarah.
When faced with an advertised role, women will only apply if they meet close to 100% of the listed criteria. Women consider a company's description of the ideal candidate and think about all the ways they don't measure up to it, whereas men, on the other hand, will apply for a job when they meet just 60% of the criteria.
That's amazing.
But it's true, isn't it? When I think of how I've applied for jobs in the past, I'm like, well, I'm not that great at Excel. I'm not that, you know, and it's like they're skills that you can still learn.
Well, what, is it about underrating ourselves, Jamila? It just seems that women often explain away their career success as luck. It's like we're uncomfortable with where we've landed
and
in our
owning
careers.
The position that you are in.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it is part of that. I think it's a lot about how we raise little girls. I think we raise little girls to please others rather than please themselves still. And we teach little girls that being nice is the most important thing. And I'm not trying to start a war on niceness. I think niceness is lovely. But I think we could be focusing on that a little bit more for our boys. And we also need to make sure that we're teaching our little girls that there is nothing wrong with being successful. There is nothing wrong with being ambitious. There is nothing wrong with wanting to be the best.
So, Jamila,
there's plenty of success in the world. There's a lot to go around. We can all have a little bit of a share of it.
So the purpose of this book is to help women feel more confident about work without blaming them for perhaps feeling less than confident to begin with.
Absolutely. It explores how our workplaces are quite gendered structured still. I think a lot of us feel like we're almost there on equality now.
Mm.
A lot of this book is really showing that we're a long way away still. There are some pretty scary stats out there that tell us about the gender pay gap and the extent that, of the impact on the of the gender pay gap on women's lives.
Mm.
Did you know that the fastest growing group of people living in poverty in this country are single women over 65?
Yeah, I believe that 100%. Is that just off the back of, you know, marriages splitting up and women just not
and
being in a position?
And earning less. The average woman retires with half the super of a man.
Yeah.
And then we live longer, right? That super has to last longer.
Yes. And wasn't there a point that you made, Jamila, that said in the course of a woman's lifetime, she will earn on average $1 million less than her male counterpart?
That's exactly true. And also women's salary earnings peak at age 31 on average. 31,
I've passed it.
But that makes sense because the average age of a first-time mother is 33 and a lot of women take time out of the workforce. Then they're in part-time roles, so they're not getting as much super.
Yeah.
And then you're looking down the barrel at 65 of perhaps a life that's not how you planned it out.
It's also depressing.
Oh, God,
it's a depressing book, though. It is an uplifting book.
It
talks about the realities, but it will lift you up. It will make you feel better and make you feel more confident. I promise.
In fact, one of Australia's 100 most influential women by the Fin Review.
Not too shabby. Yeah, you're an underachiever.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate
it. Jamila's upcoming book is called Not Just Lucky and it's available for pre-order now. Sarah and I just got a sneaky copy ahead of time.
Yeah, and we're really enjoying it. Give it a read.
Those two girls on Hit 105.
Lise, opinions flying around left, right and centre about Bernard Tomic and Nick Kyrgios' recent performance, meltdowns.
Attitudes. Well,
what do you think?
Let's state the facts. Okay, Bernard Tomic is
24, close,
but no cigar. So he's recently blamed his Wimbledon failure on being bored with tennis.
Yep.
Okay, then we have Nick Kyrgios, hugely talented, considered one of Australian tennis's great future hopes.
Mm.
But he's kind of become better known for his on-court antics. You know, he's been caught abusing officials, smashing rackets, apparently. That's the deal. They're really young. But some people are saying, you know, they're brats. They're entitled, they're petulant.
And that was my initial thing to, like, my goodness, don't they realise what opportunity they've got here? Why are they being so bratty? And then when I start to think about it, and what I read was that Bernard Tomic became a professional tennis player when he was 16. So as you said, now he's 24, and if he's feeling a bit bored with his job, I mean, we've all been there, not in this job, but in past jobs.
I mean, this is what he said post-match in the press conference. For those of you who aren't up to date with what happened, Tomic said, playing many years on tour now has come and taken a toll. Holding a trophy or doing well, it doesn't satisfy me anymore. I couldn't care less if I make fourth round US Open or lose first round. I know I'm going to play another 10 years, and after my career, I won't have to work again. So for me, this is mental. I mean, it's pretty brazen to say, I know I'm going to play for the next decade, and I think know I'll retire a wealthy, wealthy man.
I know, but I think those really great tennis players like Roger Federer and David Ferrer, they really seem to do it for the people, right? They're so grateful for everybody. It's a spectator sport, whereas I think perhaps what rubs people up the wrong way with these young blokes is that they're just like, you're just in it for yourself.
There's no gratitude.
There's no gratitude for the crowds that come out. And I think Australia so wants to have an amazing tennis player that they can get behind. And then they just come out with these things that are like, leaves a sour taste in people's mouths.
I read a really interesting tidbit of information. I hope I'm not going to get it wrong. It was in today's paper. Something that this Wimbledon performance for Australia has been the most dismal since World War II. Both of these boys out in first round.
Wow.
I mean, and this is the other thing. Tomic's coach, his former coach, said he's come out saying he's never had the drive since he was very, very, very young. The writing's been on the wall for a long time. I mean, is this a red flag? Yeah. Is this a cry for help? I mean, are we going into that? Is it signs of depression?
Is it just because you're good at something, you don't actually have to do it? A bit like, you know, when kids get an OP1 and everyone's like, well, you're going to be a doctor or a lawyer, aren't you? But they're like, no, actually, I just want to, be a, I don't know.
An artist.
But that pressure is on. Like once you're good at something, you've got to follow through.
I mean, this is where I'm coming from because I'm not a professional athlete. I don't have that level of skill. But at the end of the day, there's also, for me, just manners.
Yes.
So, okay, take away the fact that they might be hating where they're at. They're uninspired. They're not passionate. They may not be passionate about this anymore. But go back to your basics.
Yes.
I mean, this is, some people would kill to be in your shoes. The opportunity, the resources that have been thrown behind these boys, it's not that they haven't asked for that, but they've been given that.
Yep.
And even if you're hating it, show a little bit, maybe get people behind you by being nice,
yep,
by being well-managed.
A bit of media training, maybe.
A lot of media training would help. I think maybe they need a better support crew. I don't know how I feel about this one, Sarah. The parent in me is like, it's bratty. I don't like it.
Yes.
I'd give my boys a smack around the ears.
Those two girls on Hit 105.
Hey, how was the project last night? Did you catch it?
I caught clips of it this morning.
Yeah, so for those of you who may not have seen it, last night on Channel 10's The Project, Virgin billionaire, you know, Sir Richard Branson,
he
just made just about everybody cringe after just this mad flirtation with Sarah Harris, who was filling in for Carrie Bickmore on the desk. You know her? She's from Studio 10.
Yeah, I love her. She's a prissy girl.
She's a prissy girl. She is. Love her. So Sarah was left completely just awkward, red face. She was a really good sport, but he complimented her outfit and then offered to fly her to the moon. Take a listen.
Is your pursuit of space also to impress a girl? And when is it happening? We've been hearing that we're going to be going to the moon for ages.
Darling, when shall we go to the moon? The last time we met was in a hangar in a hangar like 10 years ago, and I can still remember. I mean, and look, she's wearing Lady in Red. She must have had a crush on me. You must have had a crush.
Oh, speaking gibberish. Who does Richard Branson think he is? Is he Frank Sinatra?
Wow. He had this
I'm not finished.
He had his first couple of buttons of his shirt undone. He had eyes only for her. He called her darling.
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 So smooth. Or is it creepy?
I don't know. I mean, how did Dane pick you up?
Oh, God. Well, look, as I said yesterday, Sarah, if you were listening, it was at the Caco.
Of course. Yes.
No, look, Dane can be quite the romantic. I mean, sometimes at dusk he'll say to me, come on, take a ride on my ride-on mower. And we'll go out and ride along the acreage on a ride-on mower. That didn't sound great. It didn't come out the way I intended.
No, it didn't.
We have a ride-on mower. It's like a proper ride-on mower, and sometimes he'll take me for a little spin.
A little sunset
around the dam.
Oh, my gosh. Well,
what about you and Wills?
With Wills, well, the first time I set eyes on him was at the Caxton too. In fact, he set eyes on me. He just stared at me. He didn't even say anything.
He's only human.
He was just like staring and slightly swaying, but he was wearing a kilt, and I was like, that'll do.
Why was he wearing a kilt?
Oh, he and his mates used to have some big pub crawl where they all work. None of them are Scottish.
It's just easy access.
It's like
for you,
a lame Aussie thing to do. No, goodness gracious, you know who you're talking to.
That's why I said it. I mean, look.
Sometimes he asks me if I want to ride the tractor, but I think that's just stop it. That is just his way of trying to get me to help out on the farm. Like, I'm not falling for your tractor trap. I'm not going to be doing stuff in the orchard at all hours of the night.
Yes, okay. Well, we've really married, you know.
Same type of people.
Yeah, we really have. I mean, I think the art of flirting is slowly dying.
And Richard Branson is a good flirt.
Yeah, look, he's half decent.
Yeah, he's having fun.
I mean, flying someone to the moon, he can actually say that. He is about the only person on the earth who can legit say that.
Yeah.
And mean it.
Yeah, I'd go. No, I wouldn't.
No. I'm claustrophobic. I wouldn't go anywhere near that rocket.
It's more because you just have those space bars to eat. Blah. Bring on Brekkie.
Those two girls on Hit 105.
Look, I don't mind this song, but, I mean, it's about a beach, which doesn't thrill me at all.
You.
No. In fact, I want to get something off my chest, and okay. I'm hoping that you guys can help me. So I'm going to ask, 131060, do you hate the beach? Because I do.
Okay.
And I'm okay with hating the beach and being Australian.
Are you, though?
Yes.
Why do you hate the beach?
I am. So many reasons, Liz.
Okay,
do we have the time in this show?
Yes, I think we
okay,
do.
Well, so last week I went up to Bowen to visit some family up there, and Bowen has very pretty beaches, very beautiful beaches.
It's North Queensland, isn't it?
It is, but they're particularly nice. And, you know, I had to take the kids along to the beach. And my husband was like, have you taken the kids? No, just take the kids to the beach. They'll love it. I don't want them growing up with your hatred of the beach. I'm like, well, I think it's sensible, right? So I
you
don't like the
beach. You think it's sensible to dislike the beach?
Well, for me, in my case, I'm very pale.
You are.
Very pale, okay?
You have beautiful alabaster skin, Sarah.
Thank you, Liz.
You will age beautifully.
That's very, very nice of you. Thank you.
You're also like a lens flare most days. I need to wear sunnies. Oh,
yes.
That's bright.
So going to the beach when you have pale skin is a real chore. I'm like neck to knee, rashy on, hat, towel wrapped around me. I don't like the sun touching my skin. I'm actually like that boy from Twilight. I'm like a vampire.
Yes.
Just living in the shadows.
I mean, can I just say, though, even when it's dark and shady and you're protected from sunlight, you are also neck to knee in those instances.
Well, I'd rather have a vitamin D deficiency than be touched by the sun, okay?
Well,
then there's the surf and there's getting into the water. The surf, it's unpredictable. I saw Jaws way too young.
Can you swim?
I can swim. I'm fine in a pool. I can swim. I don't like being dumped. I'm always looking for dorsal fins. I can't relax. And I'm there's sand, all the sand. Okay, hang on. Monica from Thornside. Good morning.
Good morning. On the beach.
Yay, Monica. Oh, Sarah's gone very stiff and rigid. Monica, do you love the beach?
I do love the beach. I love everywhere. I do love the beach. But you know what? At the moment, I'm watching the sun come up across the water. The beach isn't all about swimming, finding those wonderful fish.
What beach?
Today.
What beach are you at?
I'm at Birkdale, Thornside, Wellington Point area.
Beautiful. Oh, Monica, yes. You make such a good point.
I don't mind running along the beach. I don't mind sitting in the shade on the beach. I just don't like being involved with the beach.
So do as Monica
does.
Once you're
walking and enjoying what you can see, your eyes are enjoying what there is, what at that point of time is offering you. It's not necessarily swimming with it.
Yeah, well, but I mean, that's the whole thing. When people go to the beach, they expect to swim, don't they?
I think Monica sounds so chipper. I want to be her friend.
I think that's someone else's perspective. You need to make it your own perspective.
Yes. Mm. Yeah, I mean, I don't mind a run or a walk on the beach. That's fine. I just don't like sand getting in my togs.
But do you wear togs? Because it sounds like you're wearing like Kathy Freeman wore to the Olympics.
We went and stayed at Noosa.
Noosa.
A few weeks ago, and I did jump in. I was like, I've got to embrace this. I've got to show the girls that I can get in and swim and enjoy it. And you know, just slather myself in sunscreen and go. And I did body surf. I think I body surfed.
That's quite the vision.
It was... I think I did.
I don't know if you did. I think you and I...
I might have just been pulled in by a wave.
You and I need to go to the beach together because I love it and I can show you a good time, Sarah Wills.
Those two girls on Hit 105.
Those two girls want you to check your two girls. My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard. Hit 105's Breast Day Out.
Yeah, hey, Brizzy, we've been talking about this all week. We're hosting an event here at Hit 105 this Saturday morning. You've got until midday today to register. You can do that at hit105.com.au or head to the Hit 105 Facebook page. All the event details are there. But we want you to bring a best friend, bring your mum, bring your daughter along because we've lined up some GPs to teach women how to check their breasts correctly themselves at home.
And it's going to be an absolute blast. You know, we don't do things by halves, Sarah. No. We like to have a laugh. We've got lots of fun things planned. And in fact, we have to say a huge thank you to Home Fresh Organics. They're providing some melons for us.
And I'll tell you why. Because they want us to enjoy their melons while we learn how to check our melons.
Boom, Tish. Now, they've got such a great sense of humour. They like our pun and they've come on board. They were so quick to come on board. So a huge thank you to Home Fresh Organics. Now, we also have
Sarah
Donut
and Jake
Time.
From Donut Time. They're bringing a little something special in store for us, aren't you, Sarah?
Yes, we definitely are. Add a little sweet thing to the party.
And that comes in the form of...
Booby donuts.
Yes.
Sarah from Donut Time, can you tell us what your job description is, please? Because this is amazing.
It is probably the world's best job, creatively, for a pastry chef like myself, just to be able to come up with amazing concepts that, you know, people are going to really enjoy, thinking outside the box every day and making it just super delicious is just the best.
So donut designer, right, essentially?
Yeah, pretty much.
And pastry chef. And Jake, Donut Time was so quick to come to the party, quite literally. Thank you for doing that.
You and then do not waste a minute.
Oh, haven't heard that one before. No.
So are you guys...
I'll just sit back now.
So are you guys excited by this concept? Have you ever had this request for boob-shaped donuts?
Look, believe it or not, we're a very cheeky brand. And look, we've always toyed with the idea of doing a breast donut, jumped at the chance to actually put it into fruition, because what better sort of opportunity to actually do that for Breast Day Out. So we're always looking for a good cause as well. And we're really excited that we actually get the chance and a good excuse to make finally a breast
and
donut.
Finally make a breast donut.
That's the dream.
No one can get upset at you. You can just say, we blame those two girls. It wasn't our idea. But, I mean, nobody can get cranky at this.
No,
it's an amazing
what can they
initiative.
Expect?
Well, we decided as a bit of a group when it came through, the brief came through, we decided, you know, we're talking about kind of what the color of a breast was. And obviously, all of us ladies are all different varieties. So we're going to try to be super inclusive and have a few different shades of breasts.
Mm-hmm.
And
is it
maybe...
going to be an A cup donut?
They're all going to be pretty standard, probably pretty standard. Yeah,
okay. Just a BC.
Donut, maybe a BC. Yeah, a full B. Yeah,
full B.
BC.
That's nice.
They're going to be filled. So I don't know.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay. Ooh, so different fillings.
Yeah. So I think we're going to go with our amazing raspberry jam.
Okay, so it's not just a standard cinnamon donut with a hole in the middle.
Absolutely
like, you're going
not.
Hardcore.
We are. We're
going
to go super
hardcore. The brainstorming session must have been like a storm in a D cup.
Yeah, it was. That's right.
Stop it. Off the hook. Okay, so what we understand is that the design is still under lock and key.
Yes.
The bra will be lifted on Saturday for those attending. And numbers are getting up there, Sarah. Did you know that?
Yes, I did know that. Well, that's under lock and key too.
She didn't know that. No, seriously, everyone needs to show up to see these. I can't wait. You know, we don't want to see them, okay, until the day.
Yes.
Just saying. Even if you wanted to give us some samples right here,
we'll
right now.
We'll leave something to the imagination.
Would say, no, I would say yes.
Yes. So, Breast Day Out this Saturday. If you come for no other reason than to try the breast donuts, you'll also get to learn how to... check your breasts correctly too.
Thank you, Donut Time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Stoked to have
for coming to our rescue.
Oh!
I'm sorry. We've peaked. We've peaked. Just like that.
Once you start, you just can't stop. It's hard.
So, guys, this is super important to us. And on a slightly serious note, we have been getting so many messages from women saying, thank you for putting this on the agenda because cancer doesn't discriminate. In fact, we've just got one not 5 minutes ago from a young lady who's 28 waiting to hear whether she is testing positive.
She's sitting at the PA hospital right now.
So I'm sending good vibes your way. And,
absolutely.
And she's saying, get there, Brizzy. Come along. Hit 105 here Saturday morning. You've got until midday to register today. The numbers are getting up there, which is wonderful. I mean, Lise and I are so stoked that after 4 days, you're all getting behind this and embracing your buzzies. And
so, guys, until midday today, you have the opportunity to register for this free event. We're going to have such a great time and learn an absolutely
the correct medical way to check your breasts. GPs are going to teach us all. And,
so register on hit105.com.au or on the Hit 105 Facebook page. It's so easy.
Those two girls on Hit 105.